The Lord Almighty grant us a peaceful night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
The Maker of heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Almighty God grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Tonight's psalm is Psalm 37. Verses 1 through 12 and verse 41 through 42. And if we could read together. Do not fret yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass fade away. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness as clear as the light, and your just dealing as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in the evil schemes. Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. In a little while the wicked shall be no more, but you shall search out their place, but they will not be there. And the lowly shall possess the land. They will delight in abundance of peace. But the deliverance of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord will help them and rescue them. He will rescue them from the wicked and deliver them because they seek refuge in him. Tonight's gospel is from Luke 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. I was privileged to hear Canon Lash preach today, as were most of you, and she did a brilliant job. I'm not sure when I began to become more drawn to the Old Testament. Maybe when I took EFM the first time. When did Jesus become drawn to it? When did he become conscious of who he was and what his ministry entailed? Was he influenced by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah? Was it when he spent his 40 days in the desert and wrestled with God, following in the footsteps of Jacob? It was God all along, and I didn't even know it, he says in Genesis. Maybe it was when his mother said to him that his friend had run out of wine to feed his guest at the wedding. When he saw the obedient servants fill empty jars, did he feel the overwhelming largeness of God, and did his ministry begin to take shape? The psalmist says, "You make grass for flocks and herds and plants to serve mankind, that they may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden our hearts." Or was it when the woman came to him begging for his mercy and for healing for her child? Remember that he first saw his mission as being only for his people, but she pointed out the mercy in feeding the crumbs to dogs. Was it perhaps the Samaritan woman's kindness in giving him a drink of water? Of course, it was all these things and none of these things, but I believe that for us, we are invited to look at tonight's scripture about love. Jesus is asking us to look at how we perceive love. When did we discover that it is as important to love as to be loved? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Did Jesus immerse himself in Psalm 37 in his desert? Do not fret, put your trust in the Lord, take delight in the Lord, commit, be still, refrain from anger. So what is Luke telling us? And I ask this question seriously. I'm looking for two takeaway sentences. I'm trying to get back into the Garden of Eden, where God was so accessible and there was only good. But look, is that a crack in the wall over there and in my heart? What's behind that wall? Let's just step on this stone and peer over. And the Deuteronomist says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them." Clearly, we have to reach back in time to discover the Bible that Jesus read from. Let's take a deep look at the Old Testament story of the favorite son of Jacob, Joseph, and his relationship with his brothers. Joseph was a cocky kid, and his brothers were inordinately jealous of him and even hated him. They threw him into a pit to die, but God had another plan for both Joseph and the brothers. Joseph was retrieved from the pit by an Egyptian caravan, and because of his interpretive skills, was ultimately promoted to Pharaoh's right-hand man. When a devastating drought covered Egypt and all the surrounding area, Joseph was in a position to punish or even kill his brothers, or conversely, to save their lives and the life of his father. The temptation must have been strong, but he forgave them and rewarded them. I have to wonder if Jesus remembered this story when he spent his time in the desert, wrestling with his decision, looking at his life, probably glimpsing the outcome. Why pick this story in the Old Testament? Well, as God would have it, I am reading the one-year Bible, and of course I start with Genesis. When I read tonight's scripture in Luke, Joseph just popped into my mind. This son of Rachel and Jacob was only a boy when he was totally rejected by his brothers. They wanted to kill him, to end his life, but settled on tossing him into a pit like you would toss a banana peel. Sometime later, the Egyptians threw him into jail, not a pleasant place in those days. But God wasn't through with him. Tonight, Jesus is asking us to do what the great majority of people cannot do, which is to let forgiveness and the kind of love which is soul deep override the seemingly unforgivable. You will notice that I am way over my head theologically at this point in my reflection. But the message for me might be, glance back, but look forward, even as Joseph did. And let me also recommend to you all, you book lovers, the book that Willa is leading at this time, The Red Sea Rules by Robert J. Morgan. The rules are life-giving and God-given strategies for difficult times. If we can learn that we are all one, forgiveness and love might enter into our very being, and we can go forward bathed in light and consumed by love. Amen. Amen.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
For you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth.
Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye.
Hide us under the shadow of your wings.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, hear our prayer.
And let our cry come to you.
Let us pray. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake.
Amen.
I'll entertain thanksgivings and intercessions. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For those eyes of men have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen. Amen.